Diamondbacks, fresh off of their series win over the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend, taking the final two games of that three-game series to temporarily, momentarily restore order when it comes to all things Diamondbacks. Things kind of seem to be sliding out of view there for the first seven games of the season with how they play. They only hit like 209 in their first seven games of the year, but they did much, much better over the weekend, hitting 279 as a team. We'll talk about offensively how things kind of came around for Escobar and Peralta and Tim LeCastro's historic night on Saturday night and giving the base to his mom and all that stuff. But
that was exciting.
It was fun, wasn't it?
To see him, you know, give the base to his mom. And then afterwards, as they're walking out, you know, and then the cleats are going to the Hall of Fame.
Cleats are going to Cooperstown.
And there's a story about how Tim Raines used to coach him.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. Good for LeCastro.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never been caught stealing a base.
28 for 28.
That's pretty damn good.
But if we're talking about the Diamondbacks, then we got to be honest with ourselves.
Okay.
And
you ready to have that discussion?
Yeah, we got to have that conversation.
Madison Bumgarner discussion?
Madison Bumgarner's on the bump tonight against the Oakland A's. And is it anticipation? Is it dread? Is it holding your breath? Is it there's a whole like swirl of emotions that go into the start tonight. As a fan watching this, I would think, because I feel like you're hoping for the best but almost expecting the worst at this point when it comes to Mad Bum. Is that fair after just two starts? I don't know, but that's kind of how it feels like.
I mean, 11 major league seasons, never had an ERA above 3.9, and then last year he's at 6.48. It was the worst hard contact rate of his career. I mean, he gave up 13 home runs last year in 41 innings. He wasn't very good. And now two starts into this year, it's worse. 11 earned runs are the most among National League pitchers. So two starts, 9 innings, and he's given up 11 earned runs. That's the most for a National League starting pitcher. Yeah, there's concern. I mean, yeah, you're holding your breath. Give me something. Show me something that this $85 million isn't a total flush down the toilet bowl, because it's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that Madison Bumgarner will have good starts? Absolutely. I think he will have good starts. He'll have starts this year where he goes 7 innings and gives up to 3 runs or fewer. He'll have a few of those. But the question is, are they few and far between?
Yeah.
You know, are they few and far between?
Are there
between?
Enough of them to justify the giant contract and for you to not believe that was totally sunk costs when it comes to Madison Bumgarner?
You know, and listen, hitters are different than pitchers, too, with the sample size. Eduardo Escobar got off to a rough start, but okay, now he's hitting. Okay. One bad start, two bad starts, three bad starts for a starting pitcher. Okay, like you start to like, okay, at what point do you say, okay, he's not any good? Like, right. At what point do you get there? If you assume 30 starts for a starting pitcher, okay, this is 10%. This is 10% of your season gone.
Yeah.
For a base,
I hadn't really thought of it that way, but yeah, that's a good way of thinking of it.
For a baseball player, it's going to get 500 at-bats. That would be like 50 at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
A player goes 50 at-bats, and he's not hitting at all. Not saying that's the be-all, end-all three games, but like, Without anything positive, if he doesn't pitch well tonight and we're in here tomorrow talking about another bad Madison Bumgarner outing, I mean,
and that's the key, right? Okay, because you're right. It's just two starts. It's just, how many innings has he thrown? 8 innings?
Nine
innings? Okay, it's just 9 innings. It's 9 innings out of what we project to be 180 to 200 over the course of a season. I mean, it is an incredibly small little slice of Madison Bumgarner, so you don't want to lose your mind. But at the same time, it's what you said just a second ago, and what I'm watching for tonight more than anything is not Mad Bum to go out there and throw 7 innings and give up 3 hits and 1 earned run and strike out 8. And that's getting it all back at once. I don't need to get it all back at once with Madison Bumgarner. I need to see signs of progress, right? I need to see that this is heading in it, like Eduardo Escobar, you know, when he hit that home run against Colorado last week. At the time, we kind of thought it was a meaningless home run and a meaningless time of the game. Well, it turns out that swing might have gotten Eduardo Escobar's approach better when it comes to, and ever since then, he's been on an absolute tear. I need something like that out of Mad Bum tonight, right? Even if it's just for 2 or 3 innings where he looks good. Maybe he won't look good for the whole time, but, or maybe it's an outing where you go, yeah, he threw 6 innings, but he only gave up 3 earned runs. You know that stat that I hate, the quality start stat?
Yeah, you hate it.
God, I would love a quality start tonight.
I kind of like that stat.
Oh,
you don't like it. Six innings, 3 runs or fewer.
I just think for me, I would have always thought a quality start would have been maybe
7 innings, 2 runs.
Yeah, okay. That's a quality start,
that's
man.
Quality.
You really went deep in that game.
Yeah.
You know, but at this point,
you'll take 6 innings
and
3 runs.
I'll take 6 and 3 out of Madison Bumgarner in a New York minute if I can get it. Just some sign of, because you're right. If we come in here tomorrow and it's another Madison Bumgarner pitch to his ERA and his ERA is sitting around 11 and he got rocked and he didn't get deep in the game and he gave up a bunch of hits and a bunch of earned runs, how many more of these until we start talking about what are you going to do about this if you're the Diamondbacks? Because what is there to do about this if you're the Diamondbacks?
I don't know that there's anything that you can do except throw him out there every fifth day and hope. Like, you could have that discussion if he struggles. Look, he's never going to go back to the form that made him a 4-time All-Star with the Giants, right? And that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But I mean, is there a chance that you have 5 starting pitchers better than him? Is there a chance? I mean, maybe. But even if you did, would you not pitch him? If you had 5 starting pitchers that were better, I mean, I think you owe it to yourself to play the best players, but this guy's making $85 million. That changes the conversation a little bit, doesn't it?
But then what do you do with him? Right, exactly. What do you – you going to move him to the bullpen too? You can't trade him, you know, not unless you're prepared to attach one of your best prospects to him and hope somebody bites on the contract. And even then, you'd probably still have to eat all. But hey, look, it's totally unfair. I want to make sure I'm clear, but it's totally unfair to talk about these extreme suggestions with Madison Bumgarner after just 2 starts. It's just been 2 starts. Let's see what he does tonight. But it's not based off of how he pitched last year and how he started this year and how much money you owe him. It's not hard for your imagination to run wild a little bit with this and think about kind of the what if. Hopefully he pitches well enough tonight that we can come in here and kind of like the team itself, right? Like, you sent me that text, 5th inning of the game on Friday night. Man, this team's going to lose 100 games this year. They ended up taking 2 of 3 from the Cincinnati Reds
yes.
when it was all said and done. Hopefully something like that.
But I don't think they're going to win 100 now.
No, of course not. And no one's saying you were. But hopefully something like that happens with Madison Bumgarner tonight, where we look at him, and at first we go, oh, man, this is a disaster. And he does something tonight, like the Diamondbacks did against the Reds over the weekend, to make you think, okay, maybe this isn't going to be a disaster after all. Maybe everything's going to be okay when it's all said and done.
Maybe.
That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see this start tonight against the A's, who have struggled offensively.
Yep.
They've had some struggles offensively. Chapman's not swinging the bat very well. And to see if he's a competitor. I will say this. He doesn't like losing, and he's a competitor. He didn't even speak to the media after the last outing. So he is a competitive guy, and there's going to be times when the juices are flowing the right way, and I think he'll have some good start. But it's like, I don't want to wait much longer to see a good start by Madison Bumgarner.
All right. Torrey just made the announcement a moment ago for tomorrow's starter.
I was going to make sure I checked all the boxes with the medical team all the way up until a couple minutes ago. So Zach Gallen will be our starting pitcher tomorrow. I know you guys want to know what the corresponding move is going to be. We don't know that yet.
Okay. No announcement on a corresponding move, but Zach Gallen, and that's a day game, by the way, tomorrow at Chase, a really weird 12:40 first pitch at Chase Field on a Tuesday. As far as the limits that Zach Gallen will be on, here's what Torrey said just a moment ago.
I'm not sure yet. We're not going to overextend him. We got to be mindful of the time down and the fact that he had a very small fracture in his throwing arm. So we will have a number in mind. What that number is, I don't think it's been determined yet, and we will certainly not exceed that number. And then we'll just get, you know, be in touch with him inning by inning and really get some input from him. But the up downs, the number of pitches has not been determined yet, but we'll get there.
I believe he threw 67 in a camp game a week ago, I think, when it was all said and done.
Try to find that out.
Yeah.
So he didn't say what the pitch count
was. No. He said, we're working on that. We haven't quite figured that out yet, but there will be a limit, and he will not exceed it. That's for sure. But to think about where we were just 3 weeks ago with Zach Gallen to the fact that he's starting tomorrow afternoon is a gigantic sigh of relief.
Yeah. I was told a few times, and we went over that, yeah, it's not that bad. It's going to be okay. He's going to miss... you know, miss some time, but it's not like a lot of people were bracing for the worst. And the good news is it wasn't the worst. But, hey, we'll be holding our breath tomorrow, won't we, when he pitches?
Yeah.
Just get through five innings and four or five innings and, okay, good, there you go.
Sure. But if it is what they all say it is and it's just a small fracture in his bone, there shouldn't be that much to worry about in regards to that, right? It's not his ligament. It's not his tendon. It's not the UCL ligament at all. It was a small broken bone in his forearm.
Somewhere between 75 to 85 pitches will be the range for Zach Allen tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, that seems about right. I'm glad to have him back. I'll be even happier if we're in here tomorrow talking about a Madison Bumgarner decent performance. You know, at this point, I think we'll just take decent when it's all said and done. Better than decent when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, and according to some power rankings, the Phoenix Suns are the pinnacle of the NBA, and they're doing it making some slight tweaks to their offense. We'll tell you what they are next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show on this Monday afternoon. Phoenix Suns back in action tonight. They're taking on the Houston Rockets down to Phoenix Suns Arena. That's a 7 o'clock tip time. And if Sarah's got her headphones in, I'm going to look to her. She didn't have her headphones in. That's okay. She can't hear me. That's all right. Just quick question, because I know you've had it in the updates.
Yes.
Which game is on ESPN 620, and which game is here on 98.7 tonight?
D-backs here.
D-backs here.
Suns ESPN 620 AM, because D-backs starts first.
Okay.
So that
appreciate
goes here.
That. Yep. Okay. Just
sure
I wasn't sure about that. Suns Rockets tonight. That game starts at 7 o'clock as the Suns homestand continues. We are 20 games away from the start of the playoffs in the NBA. 20.
Ooh.
All right? So it's maybe not quite Europe's the final countdown yet, but we're getting there. Right. I heard Vinny talking today about, man, I'm trying to enjoy this as much as I can. I really just want the playoffs to get here so we can start to kind of see what happens with this. Right. Because it's
you
are kind of looking at your watch a little bit like, OK, tick tock. Let's go.
I understand that. But there's also this whole seeding thing. And, you know, that's what's keeping a lot of us. They're going to make the playoffs. Right. So. Now it's about the seeding. So I don't think you're not the Lakers where you don't care what the seeding is. You're the Suns. You care what the seeding is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you do. Oh, totally. And it does matter, and I do care. And you know what? I understand what Vinny's saying, and sometimes I feel the same thing, like, oh, my God, I just can't wait for the playoffs to start. Mostly, I'm really looking forward to that last stretch of really tough games in the middle of this month that we've talked about. You know, the one coming up where you're at Milwaukee, at Brooklyn, at Philly, at Boston, at New York. I want to see, like, I almost look at that as, like, your last dress rehearsal before opening night. How do you do over those seven games? How ready do you look for the playoffs? You know, so I'm not quite ready for the playoffs yet. I want to see how they do in those seven games, and then I feel like, okay, now it's playoff time. Let's go. They got through their final dress rehearsal. They got through that last big push part of the schedule. Hopefully, they're still the number two seed in the Western Conference.
Is there any one game in particular, or is it just the stretch
of
games?
If there is one game in particular, it's the Clippers. The Clippers are part of that stretch. I want to see how they play against
the
Clippers.
So that game. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're all Eastern Conference teams, so you're not going to see any of them until the end of the playoffs. So they're all intriguing in different ways, but if I'm going to pick one of the seven it's the Clippers. Yeah, those two.
They've beaten you the two times you played them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Paul George has just dominated you.
Uh-huh.
Can Monty make an adjustment to slow down Paul George?
Right.
It's great. It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's the best one out of the group.
That's the one.
Because you've seen Paul George beat you once. You've seen Paul George beat you twice. And now you want to see, okay, what can the Suns do to slow down Paul? And if they do slow down Paul George, can they avoid having Kawhi kill them?
Right.
You know, now no Patrick Beverley for the Clippers the next time they play him. He'll be out.
Yep.
Not huge, but still a key rotational piece for them.
That stretch, and I just wanted to make sure I conveyed this accurately. That stretch starts 1 week from today at Milwaukee, at Philly, at Boston, at Brooklyn, at New York, home against the Clippers, home against the Utah Jazz. I want to see how they do and how tuned up they are in those seven games going into the postseason before I declare, all right, let's get this regular season stuff over with and let's start the playoffs. But you're right, too. There's a whole lot of playoff seeding that has to be figured out. Who are you playing at the bottom? who's seven, who's eight, who's in the play-in tournament. Doesn't look like the Lakers are going to slip. It seems like they've kind of right.
Yeah, you want one of those 7, 8, 9, or 10 teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which means you got to hold on to two.
Don't fall into that.
Three, you probably get what, Portland?
Probably Portland. Maybe the Lakers if they continue to kind of hang around there. But not more than anything. Interesting what happened to the Suns today. We see all these power rankings all the time. The Athletic puts one out. ESPN puts one out.
You notice I did not see this one. Who saw this one?
Jordan saw this one in show prep. NBA.com's power rankings for this week.
Okay, let me look this up.
Phoenix Suns, number one.
NBA.com.
It'll be the first story that pops up.
Somebody send that to you, Jordan, or did you just go to NBA.com because that's like one of your go-tos?
That was just a Google search of Phoenix Suns and news, and that was all over the place.
Power rankings. Yeah. Suns swipe number one spot from Jazz. Read the story. There it is.
Are they number one?
They're number one. No, I mean, according to this, they are. NBA.com.
According to you, are they number
one? John Schumann. See, we're all 30 team. Let's see what they say.
It's a lot of
they give a reason why. In two wins over the Jazz, the Suns have allowed the league's third ranked offense to score just 101 points per 100 possessions. In two losses to the Clippers, they've allowed the league's top ranked offense to score 123 per 100. The working theory in this space is that their defense is better than the sum of its parts, not great with individual matchups, but great at helping rotating and defending teams that rely on ball movement.
I think basically it's because they beat Utah, and Utah was number one. You know how in the AP college basketball poll, the AP, if number two beats number one, you're going to make number two number one in next week's rankings, right? I mean, because it's a lot of numbers, and it's a lot of stuff about the Clippers, and it's a lot of stuff about Devin Booker and Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. It's pretty heavy analytics. But I think if you boil it down to this basic question, do the Suns deserve to be the number one team in the NBA on a power ranking? And for what it's worth, on ESPN's, they were number two. And I think on the Athletics, they were number three. And the number one team on the Athletics, by the way, was the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets were number one. And they lost their first game since the Aaron Gordon trade
to the Celtics
yesterday against the Boston Celtics. Do the Suns deserve to be number one? And are they the best team? If I said
I'm so bad at this. I'll try. Okay. I'll try to answer this. Go ahead.
Are the Suns the best team in the NBA right now? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Who is the best team in the NBA right now?
Now or come playoff time?
Now. Right now. Today. If John Gambadoro were putting together his NBA power rankings and I said, I think the best team in the NBA right now is, who's the answer to that question?
Right now, today, I'll go with the Clippers or Nuggets.
I would have gone with the Nuggets.
I'll go Clippers.
Okay. I would have, and the Nuggets.
And it's not just because they beat the Suns. You know, they've gone on a nice little stretch here. You know, Paul George, you know, has gotten healthy, and their offense has been really good, and they've won 11 out of their last 13. The Clippers have. They've won 11 out of 13. So I would go with the Clippers.
Okay. I'd probably go with the Nuggets, even though they lost yesterday. I think right now they look like the team that...
Why did you not pick the Nets?
Because
I also thought about the Nets.
Harden's hurt. KD's on a minutes restriction. Kyrie's playing, but he got ejected yesterday. Okay. It seems like they're not...
Today.
Yeah,
today.
Right now, okay. Today. Okay. Yeah, today, right now. And the Suns, second. But first... Suns play the Denver Nuggets tomorrow, neutral site. Who wins that game? But then, you know what? Okay.
Good thing there's no neutral site games.
You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it is the Clippers. And it's a good thing there are no neutral site games. Maybe it is the Clippers because Jamal Murray hasn't played in like the last four games. Now, they've been doing this without him, right? But are they really the best team in the NBA when their second best player isn't available to them? Maybe it is the LA Clippers when it's all said and done. Yeah. They're in the mix.
Well, Jamal's got a knee injury. I haven't seen any update on when his return's going to be. I mean, it is a knee injury.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
So, but Aaron Gordon has come in and he helped them quite a bit. They were winning all their games till yesterday. They played really well. I mean, but if you're going by the today theory, the Lakers aren't healthy, the Nets aren't healthy, and Jamal Murray's out for Denver. So,
yeah, today then the Clippers or the Suns might be the better answer. Look, it's at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's really more just about number one, huh? Number one. Okay. Are the Suns?
Do you watch those things for like ASU football?
Like top 25 polls?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, keep
it.
A little bit.
God, I could just so care less.
Are they getting
those
votes? Are they in the others receiving votes category? Do they? You know, I look at that stuff. Okay. I look at that stuff. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. It really doesn't.
I mean, it helps in college football because of the playoffs, because the ranking helps. You know, you're thinking, is my team going to get in the playoffs? So I think you look at the rankings for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when your team's 17th in the rankings, I mean, God, I'm not paying attention.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we are getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. Should the Cardinals adopt a different strategy in determining which players the team will select? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Happy Monday to you. NFL draft 2 weeks away from this Thursday. Tick tock, tick tock. We are getting closer. You heard Sarah mention James Conner in for a visit as the Cardinals looking to potentially address the running back position via free agency. What position will they address in the first round, and how do they go about addressing that position was the topic of a couple of mock drafts that we'll share with you in a minute, and was also the topic of a story on a site that we often look at for kind of ideas and inspirations for things to talk about. And this one was really interesting. From Revenge of the Birds, improving the Cardinals draft strategy. And I'm just going to say right now, Gambo, I don't know if I believe in this at all. I'm just passing this along.
I do.
Do you believe in this?
I do, yeah.
Walter Mitchell, I believe, was the one who wrote this. And if I got that wrong, I apologize to them. But I believe he was the one who wrote this. What the Arizona Cardinals need to do, in my opinion, in order to improve their draft strategy, is to make a more deliberate effort to recruit from the top football schools in America. Since Steve Keim was appointed GM, these are the colleges that have received the most draft picks. Bama, Ohio State, Florida, Clemson, Miami, LSU, Oklahoma, Florida State, Georgia, and Michigan.
I believe it.
Those are the 10 schools that have had the most players selected from since Steve Keim took over as GM, and yet his track record of drafting players from those schools, there aren't a lot of them. There aren't a lot of them at all. You buy it.
2004 NFL Draft, Denny Green. Larry Fitzgerald, Pittsburgh. Carlos Dansby, Auburn. Darnell Dockett, Florida State. Alex Stepanovich, Ohio State. Antonio Smith, Oklahoma State. Nick Leckie, Kansas State. John Navarre, Michigan.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Arizona Sports Signing Bonus.
All right, hold that thought, Gambo, because
right,
I want to get back to that.
I'm holding it.
It is time for our Arizona Sports Signing Bonus, and our winner at 3:35, Jeanette Salmeron. Jeanette Salmeron, Salmeron, from Avondale. Jeanette.
Yeah.
10 minutes to call, 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. If Jeanette calls in 10 minutes, $500 signing bonus.
That's it. $500.
That's all you got to do.
That's all she has to do. She has $500?
10 minutes, 602-260-9870, Gambo. That's it.
All right.
That's all
Jeanette,
she has to do.
It's in your hands now.
Yep. Now, if you didn't hear your name today, you can still win. Text the word bonus, B-O-N-U-S, to 620-620, and then listen for your name tomorrow, 735, 135, and 335. Again, Jeanette Salmeron from Avondale. 10 minutes. You're on the clock. 602-260-9870. And if you're not registered, text the word bonus to 620-620. All right. So
I believe in the philosophy of drafting, you know, great players. Because, okay, you have to realize that those schools are getting the best high school players in the country.
Right.
So they're automatically getting the best high school. Now, that doesn't mean kids get overlooked and, you know, you can't find, you know, great players out because you can. But the best high school players are going to those schools.
Yes.
Okay? They're also getting the best coaching because the best coaches coach at those schools.
Fair.
Okay?
They're also getting the best facilities, which means they're getting the best training.
And they're just getting the best competition, so they're playing against the best competition. So I'm a big believer in that. If you've got two guys equal and one went to Ohio State and one went to Bowling Green, I'm going to take the kid from Ohio State. He was probably more highly recruited. He probably got better coaching. Not that there's still really great coaches at other levels. I'm not saying there's not.
And there's still really good players at those other levels.
Like, there's a reason Nick Saban makes, whatever, $10 million a year. You know, there's a reason.
They went so far as to look at, so again, the 10 schools, Bama, Ohio State, Florida, Clemson, Miami, LSU, Oklahoma, Florida State, Georgia, and Michigan.
Not one in the Pac-12.
No, not one in the Pac-12.
Not one damn school in the Pac-12.
Not one.
Oh, Larry!
One damn school in the Pac-12. Not one. Steve Keim, since he was appointed GM, has drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Do you have the names?
11. I do. You want them?
Please, please.
Alabama. Ed Stinson in round 5, 2019, defensive tackle.
Okay, that didn't really work.
Deontay Thompson, safety, round 5.
Okay, that didn't really work.
He's okay. Ohio State, no one. Steve Keim has not drafted one player from Ohio State since he's become the general manager of the Cardinals.
What's his problem with Ohio State?
I don't know. He doesn't like the Buckeyes, apparently.
Okay.
Florida, one guy. DJ Humphreys.
Okay, great signing.
It's great to be a Florida Gator.
Because it's great to be a Florida Gator. It's great to be a Florida Gator.
Clemson.
Yes.
Two players. Andre Ellington, Isaiah Simmons.
I liked both of them. They were good players.
Yeah. Miami, no one. He's not drafted one Miami Hurricane since he's been here.
The hell?
I LSU, this is the school that they've dipped into the most. Kevin Minter, round 2 in 2013. Tyrann Mathieu, round 3 in 2013. Rashad Lawrence in round 4 last year.
So that was good.
Three LSU players.
Yeah, they were all good. Kevin Minter was a good player for a while.
Oklahoma, one.
I think
Kevin Minter won a Super Bowl with the
Bucks.
Yeah.
He was on that Tampa Bay team.
Yeah, he was on that
Tampa Bay team. Okay, yeah.
Oklahoma, one.
I was just going to say that, but I had to hold. Was he on that team? Yes.
Yeah. Kyler Murray, yeah. Obviously. Florida State, no one. Georgia. One player, Lamont Gilliard, center.
Okay.
Okay, he's okay. And then number 10, I'm afraid to bring this one up, Mason Cole, Michigan. So then they took it even a step further.
Okay, so he hasn't had that. I mean, it was okay. DJ Humphreys is a great player.
Yep.
Just go get the University of Florida. Let's go.
Well, along those lines.
The tight end there, I kind of like.
Okay. I forgot his name.
I can't remember his name. Tight end out of Florida. He looks pretty good on film. Looks like he could catch and block.
Well, it's interesting because two of the names that are on each of the mock drafts that we found today both fit this definition.
Yes.
You had a mock draft in which they mocked Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida, to the Cardinals at number 16. I saw another mock draft today where they projected Jalen Waddle from Alabama to the Arizona Cardinals at number 16. In fact, our friends at Revenge of the Birds even went so far, and we have no stock in this, by the way. We just in Revenge of the Birds. We just like some of the stuff they write. It's interesting to talk about.
Yeah, they're good to us. We're good to them.
Yeah, they went so far as to say, okay, here are all the players from those schools that might be available when the Cardinals pick in the first round. Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle from Bama, Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver from Florida, Travis Etienne from Clemson, Jalen Phillips, the outside linebacker from Miami, Terrence Marshall, the wide receiver from LSU, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, the outside linebacker, and Kwity Paye, the outside linebacker from Michigan. All of those guys might be available and fit the big school criteria that they point out might be the key to success. From that pool of candidates, I wonder if the Cardinals will select a player from that pool.
I don't know. I commented on it that I believe in it. You don't believe in it that much?
I didn't have enough time for this morning. You know what I meant to do today? I meant to look at the top 5 or 10 players at every position in the NFL right now currently. Do they fit this criteria? Are they?
Well, can we just do Cardinals?
Okay.
Let's just do Cardinals. Who's DeAndre Hopkins?
Clemson.
Chandler Jones.
Syracuse.
No. Kyler Murray,
Oklahoma.
Syracuse is a good program.
But from these top 10 schools, from these...
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? From these top 10...
J.J. Watt
went to Wisconsin, so he's a no. Buda Baker went to UW. He's a no. Larry Fitzgerald went to Pitt. He's a no. Chase Edmonds went to
Fordham.
That's a big no.
Yeah.
Dominant
school in New York.
DJ Humphries is a yes.
Pat Pete was LSU.
He was a yes. Who am I forgetting about? Where did Jordan Hicks? He was UCLA. Where did Jordan Hicks go to school? Why am I blanking on where Jordan Hicks went to school? I think he went to UCLA.
Justin Pugh. Syracuse?
I have no idea where Justin Pugh went.
I think he was Syracuse.
Yeah. So, does it work? Some of the times.
Okay.
Syracuse. Yeah, you're right. Syracuse. He went to Syracuse.
Okay.
So, it works some of the time. Doesn't work all the time.
Works
60%
of the time.
It works all the time. When we come back.
On the
Burns and Gambo Show. Thanks to some guys returning from injury and possibly the friendly confines of being home at Chase Field, the Diamondbacks offense starting to warm up a little bit. Is it here to stay? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
And the 2-0 pitch to him. Swing and a drive to right. Four games and four home runs for Eduardo. And the Diamondbacks lead it 6-0.
Well, hi, Eduardo Escobar.
Hey.
How you doing?
Welcome to 2021.
Come on in. Have a seat. Well, can we get you a drink? Some snacks? Nice to see you.
Huh.
Thanks for coming around.
Yes.
We appreciate it. Thanks. Welcome to the party, pal.
That's why you don't jump to conclusions after two or three games, right?
That's why you don't jump to conclusions. Now, does that mean he's going to have a great season? I mean, who knows? I sent you the numbers of his first five games compared to his last four games. Reality for him is obviously going to be somewhere in between those two extremes, right? I mean, he's not going to be this good all year. But that's exactly right. That's why after five games, you just kind of wait and see how it's going to go. Because it wasn't just him, man. That splashdown home run by David Peralta,
might
have been one of the most important swings of the weekend for the Diamondbacks, because he's a guy that's just got to get right for them. And hopefully that performance he had with the splashdown and with the double, hopefully that gets him going a little bit, because they need him just as much as they need Eduardo Escobar to come around, especially with Cattell on the injured list the way he is.
Yeah, I thought, getting Nick Ahmed back on Saturday, getting Calhoun back on Friday, it almost felt like it was a shot in the arm. Nothing against Andrew Young and Perdomo, but they replaced Andrew Young and Perdomo with Nick Ahmed and Cole Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting those guys back helped, and then you had that, I thought one of the biggest base hits to me, and I know the Peralta one is a huge one. I thought Stephen Vogt against the left-handed pitcher with a 2-2 count on Saturday, a single cleared the bases.
Yeah, the single in the error, that scored the three runs. Yep.
Cleared the bases, three runs scored right there. That was a 2-2 pitch. It broke open that game. That was a 3-2 game. That really broke it open. Three runs scored there, and that was big. I thought that was a huge hit by Stephen Vogt in that situation.
Yeah.
And the Peralta homer, of course, but the Stephen Vogt one stands out to me as well.
No, and that's, if you're talking about a key moment for the weekend, there's no question that's a key moment. I think Escobar was maybe a key player from the weekend, but if you're picking a key moment, that Stephen Vogt, bases clearing single along with the error went a long way in that regard.
I mean, if we were given three stars for the weekend,
kind of like they do in hockey,
I'd give Luke Weaver the first star, Escobar the second.
And I'd give Tim LaCastro the third.
And then Tim LaCastro the third.
I'd give nothing against Peralta or Vogt.
He got four hits, and his cleats are going to the Hall of Fame.
Four for four. Your cleats are going to the Hall of Fame. They gave you the base as a gift, and
get picked off of first base.
I know, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of, but man, 28 for 28 on stolen bases to start the season. He's been measured by, StatCast as the fastest player in Major League Baseball, right? There's nobody faster than him. Tim Raines, the man whose record he broke. You know, Reigns was 27 of 27 to start a career in stolen bases, and LeCastro is now 28 of 28.
Who was your favorite base stealer ever?
My favorite base
stealer? I don't remember Lou Brock.
I mean,
I'll go Ricky Henderson.
Probably Ricky.
Ricky Henderson.
Even when
Ricky.
Even though when he got the all-time, today I am the greatest of all time. Okay, Ricky, thanks for the humility. We appreciate that. But probably Ricky, I would imagine.
What team's he on now? He's still playing. I know he's still playing, right? He played for 100 years. Ricky Henderson played forever.
Yeah.
He literally played forever. He started his career. I got to look this up. He started his career in 87? No, wait.
Ricky Henderson?
No, the stats they're giving me are terrible. He ended his career in like 2003, but he started in 79.
Yeah, he played a long time. While you look that up, I'm going to play a soundbite from Torrey Lovello on the offensive performance from yesterday.
Offensively, David had the big blow, broke the game open, the three-run home run. Those innings are built. You know, we did a good job of getting runners on base. And then David, who has a knack for getting the job done at the most crucial moments of the game, comes up and basically breaks the game open. I felt Eduardo's two-run home run took it to the next level, but it was a pretty solid effort for us offensively. Van Meter gets on base five times. We had a lot of traffic on the bases throughout the entire game, but we picked up the baseball, we pitched the baseball, and we hit the baseball. It was a pretty good Sunday afternoon for us.
Now that's something to keep an eye on too moving forward. With Nick Ahmed back.
See the
right?
ball, hit the ball.
Yeah. With Nick Ahmed back, all right, now Torrey has talked about kind of like an infield rotation. Josh Rojas is off to a very slow start.
Yeah.
Very slow start.
And they were most excited about him coming out of spring
training. They really were.
Everybody was.
Van Meter's off to a nice start so far. You know, and I heard Brenly.
I like Van Meter.
I heard BB talking about him during the broadcast a little bit, and he had a great day yesterday. Two hits, three walks. He was on base a ton.
Got him from the Reds.
There was a lot. Got him in that Archie Bradley trade less than a year ago. I do wonder. It seems to be there's now kind of a competition to see, okay, who's going to be that guy, right? Who's going to be that guy with Nick back? Who's going to be the guy who gets some of those second base at-bats? Is it going to be Wyatt Matheson? Is it going to be Van Meter? You know, sometimes you might move Escobar over to second and have Asdrubal Cabrera, who's gotten off to a really nice start so far. He gets some at-bats. There's going to be a little bit of a rotation.
I don't like Escobar at second base.
No? I think he's going to get some. As long as he stays hot, I think he's going to get some looks in there to keep his bat in the lineup.
Defensively,
it leaves you long.
I'm not giving up on Rojas, but I want to see Van Meter play.
Yeah.
I want to see him get some opportunity. Ricky Henderson played in four decades in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
70s, 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. Played 25 years in Major League Baseball.
He is.
Four decades.
One last thing from the Arizona Diamondbacks. They signed Josh Reddick today to a minor league deal.
No Astros.
It violated your no Astros
no
rule.
Astros.
This is a clear violation of your no Astros
no
rule.
Astros.
Yeah, sorry. Nick Pecora was the first to report. Sign him to a minor league deal. He will report to the team's alternate site. He'll make $750,000 if he reaches the majors. Mike Hazen has a history with Reddick dating back to
Red
his
Sox.
Time with the Red Sox. Yeah, yeah, so that's
came up
why.
With the Red Sox, then he went to the A's.
That's why they signed him. Yeah. We'll stay on the Diamondbacks when we come back. Their rotation spent the weekend kind of getting things back on track, and even more help is coming tomorrow. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.